We're going to be in the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 4. It's about two books after Galatians. We've been in Galatians for a while. And we're going to take a little break from that. Maybe a week or two. I'm going to look at the subject of giving. We'll look at the subject of giving this morning. And every Christian ought to be a giving Christian. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 20 of Philippians chapter 4. More specifically, about giving and how it is a joy to us. How that giving is a joy to the Christian. And Paul the Apostle and the Philippian believers found joy through giving, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And so I hope that all of us want to have joy. And one of the ways that you're going to find joy as a Christian is by being generous and by giving. And so we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for our salvation this morning. We're thankful that we have a song to sing, songs in our heart. Thank you, God, for the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have here this morning. We pray that you would help us to be a blessing to one another. We pray that we would be edified and built up and strengthened through the words that are spoken, and that you would help us to have joy in our hearts and help us to be giving and generous Christians, and you would speak to us this morning. Lord, we love you and thank you, God, for your opportunities that you've given to us and for the blessings that you bestow upon us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4, and we'll read verses 10 to 20. Starting verse number 10, Paul the Apostle is writing, and he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul the Apostle had a great relationship with the church at Philippi. They had a loving relationship. They really loved one another. They got along with one another. And they were one of the churches that supported Paul in his missionary endeavor and going out and preaching the gospel. Paul started the church in Acts chapter number 16. Whenever he was sprung from prison there, we all know the story about how Paul and Silas were singing praises in the prison, and then an earthquake came and they were sprung from the prison. And there is where Paul started the church at Philippi. And right away, the church at Philippi had supported Paul in his missionary endeavors. They had given him money, they'd given him clothing, food, whatever he needed. But after a while, after about 10 years, their support had gone silent. They had not been supporting Paul the way that they had before. And now he's writing to them and he says, hey, your care of me hath flourished again. You are supporting me once again. You have sent something by the hand of Epaphroditus. And you're taking care of me again. You're giving. You're being a giving congregation. I want all of us today here to know that we ought to be giving Christians. Amen. We need to give to this church and to missionaries abroad. We serve and support many missionary projects, and that is because we want to get the gospel out, not only in Portales, New Mexico, but also across the world. I read a statistic from a nonprofit source. It says those who tithe regularly in a congregation are made up of about 10 to 25% of any congregation. So that's only about 10 to 25% of people who actually give and support their church regularly in a congregation. I don't know if that's the case at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church or not, but if that statistic is right, it's an inclination of the way that people give. All of us ought to be faithful servants of the Lord, and that includes giving to our church as well. The statistic that I just quoted to you is a parallel of what is called the Pareto Principle, which states that 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. I don't want to get into that, all of that, but in the business world, 80% of the sales come from 20% of the clients. The same principle could be played out in churches across America. 80% of the load in churches, as far as financially we are concerned, and as far as serving is concerned, is done by 20% of the people. And that ought not to be. Everyone ought to be involved in giving and supporting their church. Not just 20%, not just 50%, but 100%. We can give what we can. I'm not saying that you must go broke in order to give to the church, but I am saying that Christians ought to be giving as an individual. So Paul, he is here and he's in the midst of a Roman prison. He doesn't have a whole lot to be joyful about. But he says in the midst of that, he says, hey, I'm content. And I have learned to be content. And he is thankful to the Philippian believers for sacrificing and giving to him in his time of need. And they had entered into sacrifice with Paul. They didn't have a lot of money. As a matter of fact, they were amongst some of the poorest of the population where they were at. They didn't live in the United States of America where we have plenty. They were poor. And they were willing to sacrifice for Paul because he had a need. And they wanted to see the gospel go forth. And so you and I must be the same way. We must be willing to give and to sacrifice. Giving is not an alien concept in the Bible. All of God's people should be willing to give and are commanded to give in the scriptures. It says in Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 9 to 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Giving honors the Lord. Giving glorifies the Lord. Giving says, hey, God has given me something. God has blessed me with something. And so I'm going to honor God with that, and I'm going to give back to God. And it's going to be the first fruits. It's not going to be the leftovers that I have. And I'm going to say, well, if I've got a little bit left over, well, I might give some to God. If I have a little bit left over, I might tithe or give some to the church. No, I'm giving God the first fruits because I want to honor God with the things that He has given to me. And you're acknowledging God in everything. Whenever you give, it's a form of worship. Amen. It's showing that you love the Lord. Amen. We don't give to become rich. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I repudiate that. I don't believe in that. But we give because we want to give. We give because we love the Lord and because we love God's work and because we love God's people and we love God's church. And so that's why we give. Giving is not an alien concept to the church of God. Giving not only benefits God's work, but it benefits God's people. It brings joy to their hearts. It brings joy to us. So what are the joys of giving for the Christian? We've got four joys of giving for the Christian. Number one, it renews our care for others. It takes us out of our own selfish shell sometimes. And it shows that we are concerned for others whenever we give. Number two, it teaches us contentment. Number three, it's a way of sharing a burden together. And number four, it's a way of reaping a blessing. And those all bring joy to the Christian. Number one, it renews our care for others. It shows us that we actually care for other people and we are not self-centered people. Because we can become self-centered, can't we? We can only think of ourselves sometimes. Oh, I'm not going to give to the church. I'm not going to give to other people because I'm only concerned about me, myself, and I. But he says in verse number 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now that at the last your care of me hath flourished again." The Philippian believers had been supporting Paul, but for about 10 years, their care had gone silent. Their concern for Paul had gone silent. And he says, "Man, I'm rejoicing because life is coming back again to you guys. And you are supporting me and you are giving to my need. And it's flourishing again." The word flourish is like, hey, there's life coming there. Kind of like during the wintertime, you know, your tree will go into hibernation and the leaves will start crumpling up and dying and going away. There's not a whole lot of life there. That's the way their care had been for about 10 years. But Paul says, man, I am rejoicing because, man, it's coming back. The life is coming back and you are supporting me and I'm thankful for that because Paul is in a bad situation here and he's sitting in prison and he's bound in chains and he doesn't have a whole lot going for him, but then here comes Epaphroditus, and he's bringing something from this church at Philippi that's going to supply his needs. And he says, man, I sure am happy about that. He says, man, you guys are not being self-centered. You're looking outside of yourself, and your care for me hath flourished again, and you're supplying my needs. And God had sent them there. So giving takes the focus off of ourselves and onto others. It's a tangible way that we can show that we actually care for God and for His work and for God's people. Amen. Is by giving. Amen. It shows that we have spiritual life on the inside of us. Amen. Has your care for the church and your care for God's people kind of died out and waned a little bit? And you've stopped giving. I don't know your giving habits. I'm giving you what the Word of God has to say. Has it died out a little bit? Maybe you need to renew your care and your love for God's church and for God's people because this church has real issues like any church does. And we need help from everyone. Everyone needs to pitch in. Ministry costs money. That's just the reality. Having a building, having lights, having heat, having pastors, having associate pastors, that all costs money. And so we all have issues and we need help from everyone. And so giving is a way that we can show that, yeah, I care. I'm going to support the work. Amen. James said in James chapter number 2, he gives us a powerful illustration of what true living faith looks like. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if you have a neighbor that comes to you and knocks on your door and he's destitute of food and clothing and he needs something and he asks you for some help? And you say, oh, go ahead and go on and be warmed and be filled. Go on your way." Does that profit? Does that show that you're having true faith right there? No, it doesn't. It says that you have a lot of words, but you don't have any actions to back up your words. And he says, faith without works is dead. That's a dead faith. You might say that you have faith, but you don't have faith. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that what does it profit a Christian if you say that you love God, but you will not support His work or give? That doesn't demonstrate love at all. What kind of marriage would it be if a husband and a wife did not give back and forth to one another? You might say that you love your wife. You might say that you love your husband. But if you never gave, that's not true love. It's saying, I'm just a taker. I'm not a giver. I'm only concerned about myself. It's just me, myself, and I. And I am not concerned about the flourishing of the church. That's not true love. Just as faith without works is dead, so love is dead without giving. Jesus Christ told his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves can't break through and steal. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your pocketbook is, that's where your heart is. Where you're willing to give, that's where your heart is. And if we're willing to give, it shows that, yes, we actually care about Grace Fellowship Baptist Church and the missionaries that we support. Are you concerned for the flourishing of the church here this morning? If you and I cannot learn to take our eyes off of ourselves and onto others, we're not growing as a child of God. We're not growing spiritually. If you can only just take care of yourself and not somebody else, you are not growing and maturing as a child of God. Maturity comes whenever we are able to not only take care of ourselves, but we are willing to be concerned about other people as well. So it's a way to renew our concern for others. It brings joy to our hearts. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You're not going to find joy by being self-centered, and neither am I. True joy is found by looking outside of yourself and looking to others. The next quality that we see is that giving produces is that of contentment. Paul says in verse number 11 and 12, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be content. He says, my contentment is not wrapped up in how much money that I have. Whatever state that I'm at, wherever I'm at, I have learned to be content. I don't have to have a whole lot of money to be content. I am content with whatever I have. Did you know a lot of Christians won't give any money to the church because they're afraid that if they lose some of that money, they ain't going to be content anymore? Boy, my bank account is just not as fat as it used to be, so therefore I can't give any money to the church. You haven't learned contentment. You haven't learned true joy, and neither have I. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to be brought low. I know how to go without food. I know how to be hungry. I know how to be blessed too. And however it is, I've learned to be content. And there Paul is sitting in a jail cell, and he learned to be content right there. Amen. You and I, if we learn to give and to find that joy that only comes through giving, we're going to learn some contentment. The story is told of a king. He had a bad disease or an ailment or something like that, and obviously he wasn't a Christian because he had some astrologers that he was relying upon for advice. He says, I want to get over this disease, and so he talked to his astrologers. He says, how do I get over this disease that I have? And the astrologer said, well, we'll go throughout the kingdom and we'll look for the most contented person that there is, the most contented man that we can find out there. We'll get his shirt off his back, we'll give it to you, you wear that, you'll get rid of that disease that you have. So he sent out his servants. They went out and looked all over the countryside, found the most contented man that they could find to get his shirt, to give it back to the king. And you know what they found whenever they found the most happiest, contented man they could find? He did not have a shirt on his back. Contentment does not come from having things. Contentment comes from being content and just being joyful in whatever God has given to you. The more that we get, the more that we want, it seems like. True happiness and true joy comes through giving. As I already stated, Jesus Christ said, hey, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you give out the blessings that God has given to you? God's been good to you and blessed you with things. We have some very generous people in our church here today. And I'm not complaining one little bit. I'm not getting on to anybody either. But God has blessed us with some good people. And with some people who are willing to give. If we aren't willing to give, we become like that stagnant pool that sits there and stagnates and doesn't flow out. And it starts to breed, it starts to get infested with disease and all of that ugliness from not flowing. That's the way that a Christian is. All those blessings come into us. and we want to hoard all those blessings up and not give them out. And it starts to breed discontentment and all of the nasty things that happen from not giving. We ought to be like a fresh spring of water. Hey, the water comes in and it goes out as well. The blessings come in from God, they're going out as well. We must learn some contentment. Many times people don't want to give because they're too greedy. They haven't learned the contentment. And they say, I'm keeping all the blessings that God has given to me and I'm not giving them out. They never want to give. Many times money is a big issue for Christians because, boy, they just want to keep it all to themselves. But we must learn contentment. We must be good stewards of the things and the blessings that God has given to us and order our lives in such a way that we can actually support God's work. Amen. Sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. Hey, I might have to do without this or I might have to do without that. But yeah, giving to God's work is an important thing. And I'm willing to sacrifice and willing to give. Should not give God the leftovers that we have. Give God the first fruits of everything that we have. The next joyful benefit that we receive is sharing in ministry together. That's number four, verse number 14. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate in my affliction. Paul had a burden and he had an affliction, and they were willing to share in that burden together, to communicate. To communicate means to share in company with or co-participate in. The Philippian believers were willing to share in that burden that they had. Do you guys realize, and everyone realize here today, that the ministry that we are involved in here today is a co-participation endeavor? It is everyone involved together. It is a communicating experience together. Paul was going through a sacrifice, and they said, hey, we're willing to sacrifice as well. Hey, you got some trouble in your life, Paul? We're going to go through that trouble with you. We're going to go through that endeavor with you as well. They were willing to communicate together with Paul. Paul the Apostle said again in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Hey, nobody here is a maverick, or at least we shouldn't be. It's just not me, myself, and I. We have problems. We have struggles. It is a mutual endeavor with all of us involved together. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When Paul wrote those words in Galatians chapter 6, it was in the context of helping to carry a burden of a fallen brother or sister in Christ and helping to carry the burden in a financial sense by giving to one another. We're all in this together. Ministry is not just a one-way street. It's not just for the pastor and the pastor's wife and the pastor's kid and the associate pastor and a few super Christians that are sitting in the pew and, well, they're going to take care of that and I'm just here for the party. No, it's a mutual endeavor. It is everyone bearing the burden together. And it's sad to say today that many times, just like I told you at the beginning of the message, that it's only about 20% of the people who are willing to carry the load. But everyone needs to get in and get together and to participate and share the burden together. Just like a physical body. Our church body is just like a physical body. What happens whenever you hurt your hand? You might cut it open, something like that. Do you just stand there and watch your hand bleed to death? You'd think, man, what's the matter with that person? Why are they doing that? Why aren't they wrapping that thing up and stitching it up or something like that? No, they get together, man. Hey, with us, let's cover that thing up. Let's stop the bleeding. Stop the hemorrhaging. We want to be healthy. We want to live. Man, I want to get that thing sewn up. Same way with a church family. We're all in a body together. And if the church is hurting, the church ought to get together and say, hey, man, let's fix this thing. Let's get together. Let's participate. Let's communicate together with one another. Because you know what's going to happen if we don't? And we're all just like, eh, I don't want to have to be involved in all of this. You know what's going to happen? The body's going to die. We're going to suffer. Just like a human body. We all have to get in together and communicate with one another. It's a way of sharing the burden together. And the Philippian believers looked at Paul and said, hey, this guy's going through something. Let's get with him. Let's help him. Let's send him something. Let's give. It's a way of sharing a burden together. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which with such sacrifices God is well pleased." God is well pleased with communicating amongst believers, giving. He says, don't forget about that. Don't forget to give. You know why? Because many times our tendency is just to be self-centered, just to think about me and my own little world and forget about everyone else. We must communicate and share that burden together. The last thing that we're going to look at, it's a way of reaping a blessing. A way of reaping a blessing. Verse number 17 and 18. He says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account." He says, the reason that I'm thankful that you are giving to me and helping me is not because I desire a gift. He's already said he's content with whatever God has given him. He says, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned that you be able to reap from the benefits of giving to God's work. Whenever you give to God's work, it's a way of reaping a blessing. Did you know that the law of sowing and reaping doesn't stop at giving at church?
Amen.
It doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
You all heard the phrase, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. I'll testify to that. You can't outgive God.
Amen.
The blessings just keep on coming and keep on coming. And Paul says, hey, I want you to reap a blessing. I want you to get something back, and you will get something back. That's not the reason that we give. We don't give so we can get rich. Oh, God's going to bless me with $1 million now that I put 10 in the plate. That's not why we give. It comes out of a heart of wanting to give. I read a story about a farmer one time, and boy, he gave a lot. And he had lots of church members that were with him, and boy, they saw his giving, and they couldn't understand. Boy, how are you giving so much? What's going on there? He sent somebody over to talk to him. What, you give so much, you give more than us. How do you give? He says, well, that's easy. He said, I keep on shoveling into God's bin, and he keeps on shoveling it back into my bin. The only thing is, God's got a bigger shovel, and he keeps on giving. That's the way that it is with giving. And Paul says, man, I want you to reap a blessing there. And the law of sowing and reaping doesn't stop. Paul the Apostle again, and talked in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, about giving. He says, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If you only sow a little bit, you're only going to get a little bit back. But if you sow a lot, you're going to get a lot back. God's going to bless you like you have never dreamed of. Again, Paul the Apostle in Galatians chapter number 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap."
Yeah. Amen.
The law of sowing and reaping comes into effect by giving. And if you and I decide, oh, I'm not going to give, I don't need to give, you're not going to reap that blessing that God has got for you. I'm sure that each and every one of us want that blessing that God has for us. I'd encourage each and every one of us to give and to reap the blessing that God has given to us. Boy, I can't tell you how immensely my life has been enriched by giving to God. It's just wonderful. Jesus Christ even told his disciples, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom." However you sow, that's how you're going to reap, but you're going to get a whole lot back from what God has given to you. The blessing of giving. The blessing of giving. Boy, it's a joy. You get a solid return on your investment. So we as Christians, we're told to give. And that's how we have joy in our Christian life. None of us, or you're not going to find joy, and I'm not going to find joy by ignoring everyone and doing my own thing, by having my eyes only on myself. That only contributes to the problem. To get out of that funk, to get out of that problem, you got to look outside of yourself. Our society is so self-centered, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. We must learn to give. Giving is a reflection of the gospel that we say that we believe, and it's a reflection of the gospel that of the God that we say that we serve. We serve this wonderful God who has given everything, gave His only begotten Son, left heaven, left the glories of heaven, came down here to earth, and gave the ultimate sacrifice of Himself. Amen. For people who didn't deserve it. Yeah. And then we have self-centered Christians who say, oh, I believe in God, but I'm not going to give. That's a contradiction. That's a contradiction. You have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and I have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. That ought to propel giving. Amen. To propel giving. Because we say that we believe these things. Jesus Christ lost Himself for the well-being of others. He gave of Himself. He became poor so that we could become rich. He gave up everything so that we could have something. He sacrificed so that we could have eternal life. Now Christians act the same way. We become poor for the riches of someone else. We are willing to sacrifice for someone else so that the gospel can go forward, so that our church can flourish, so that our church can be healthy. That's why we do these things. And because we love the Lord, that's when we're going to find true, lasting joy. And we can get rid of the destructive cycle of selfishness and self-centeredness. So what our church needs systematic, faithful Christians who will sacrifice and love God and love their church and be willing to give and willing to sacrifice. That's what our church needs. That's what it needs. We've all benefited from the gospel. We've all benefited from Jesus Christ and from God Almighty. Jesus Christ left heaven. He came down here to earth and He died and He lived a perfect sinless life. He was buried and on the third day He rose again, and now He is seated at the right hand of the Father and He is making intercession for His church. I don't know if you're saved here this morning. I don't know if you have eternal life dwelling on the inside of you. But I would encourage you to trust this man, Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of glory. He is the God of the universe. He is the creator of the universe. And don't trust your own self-righteousness. Don't trust your own way. Trust Jesus Christ in Him alone. Trust Him. It's a free gift. You can't work it up. You must be born again. And if you're not born again, you will die and you will go to hell forever. Trust Him. Yes, trust Jesus Christ. Boy, it'd be the best thing that you ever did is to trust Jesus Christ. You're never going to look back and say, man, that Christianity, boy, what a bunch of foolishness. What a bunch of nonsense. You're not going to look back and say that. You're going to look back and say, man, I'm glad that I trusted Jesus Christ and not myself. I'm glad. What about you here this morning? Are you willing to be a giver? Are you willing to sacrifice? I hope that you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank You for giving to us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be sacrificial in giving, to give back. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be content with what You've given to us, to be joyful with what You've given to us. Thank You, God, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank You and praise You. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You. Father, I pray that You'd be with the invitation. I pray that You'd speak to hearts. We'll thank You for it. We love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.